Well, as Steve said, hopefully we'll have the PA system fixed in a week or so, depending on how quickly they can get out now that we have a couple of estimates. So if you have a problem hearing me tonight, you just cup your hands, okay? Around your ear, that is. It's great to see all of you. Great to see you this evening. We're glad that you feel like getting out. It's good to see Jean. She was telling us that she had some dermatology work done. It was pretty uncomfortable last night, so she didn't feel very good this morning. It's good to see her. And all of you, let's remember those on our sick list and those especially who have been chronically ill with different ailments of different kinds. We just have so many that we need to be keeping regularly in our prayers. We've mentioned the last couple of weeks in the bulletin about the terrible situation in Venezuela, and keep Mirza in our prayers and other brethren. There are other brethren in that country, and just a horrible living situation for them right now. We pray that things can change, that cooler heads can prevail, and the people can get somewhat back to normal in that country. Let's remember those people in our prayers. And we have just so much going on. I know all of you in your lives. I'm about 3 weeks away this Tuesday from another trip, and so we're making preparations for that. I've been talking to Mark, which most of you know, about that. And so he's preparing, and we're preparing, and so we're looking forward to a good trip in a few weeks. We've been studying together on Sunday evenings a series that we just have been calling The Significance of Being a Christian. Tonight we're going to talk about connected to other Christians. The significance of being a Christian. We've had several lessons, A Person Reborn. We talked about the fact that we are born again, the significance of that, the importance of that. We were lost in sin. We were outside of Christ. We were outside of God. We were dead and separated because of our sins. But we have been born again. We now live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Our whole life should be a life of living by faith. We are consecrated to God, devoted to Him, devoted to His service. Different people in this world have different things that they focus on, different things that are important to them, different things that they put their zeal and enthusiasm toward. The Christian should be consecrated to God, devoted to Him only. And having been born again and having a life where we're living by faith and being consecrated to God, we understand that we have been saved, but we have been saved to serve. We haven't been saved to be selfish, but saved to serve others and to live for others and to seek others, whether our brothers and sisters in Christ and their needs, or whether it be those who are out there in the world that we can have an impact on and that we can try to teach and that we can try to influence. And I'm sure there's many more lessons that we could do along this line as we think about this subject of the significance of being children of God. Tonight we finish with the idea of being connected to other Christians. Christians are to be involved in service. As we said, we have been saved to serve. Some of the service that we have as we think about our service to God, our service to the Lord, our service to others, some of that service is individual in nature. In other words, it's not things that we do collectively together. We live our lives mostly away from the brethren. We oftentimes don't see each other. There used to be a period of time where people lived in smaller communities or people lived in smaller towns. And they would see one another on a regular basis. They might even work with other Christians. Sometimes people have that blessing of working with those who are Christians. But oftentimes in modern society and in our rush of daily life, we live away from each other. We don't see each other during the week. Our lives are surrounded by our families. Our lives are surrounded by the world out there as we work with those that are in the world. As Brother Brent talked about this morning, we're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be the light of the world. We're to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven, as Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5. But we say all that just to say and to remind us that much of our service as children of God is individual in nature from day to day. As we can give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, as we can help someone, as we can teach someone, as we can invite someone to services, as we can make an impact on someone individually in our lives, that is individual kind of service that we might talk about. But of course, what we're talking about this evening is the fact that we have a collective action also. We have a fellowship together in the body of Christ. Some of our service involves collective action. Now, unfortunately, sometimes brethren have had the idea that all they're involved in is an individual, that Christianity is an individual action only. Some have had the idea that local church membership and participation with the local congregation is unimportant or unnecessary. A number of years ago, when Becky and I were first married and I was first started preaching, I was doing an internship for a year in a congregation in Memphis, Tennessee. And while we were there, we met a couple of individuals. They were two men. They were good friends, I guess. I don't really know much about them. They were both Christians. But they just kind of floated from church to church. They just kind of floated from congregation to congregation. They were known as the two that never placed their membership anywhere in town. There were five or six congregations in town. And they would just visit different ones from week to week. They would be someplace else, and they'd show up about every 6 or 7 weeks at our congregation, worship with us on Sunday morning. Then we wouldn't see them again for another 6 or 7 weeks. I guess they just kind of made the rounds. Well, that's not the biblical concept of what church fellowship or membership or participation one with another is all about. The Bible does not picture that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the chaos as far as trying to get an orderly work done? Well, of course, there's just no pictures in the New Testament like that. What we see is a picture of a local congregation with local brethren worshiping and functioning together. And so there is an action. There's a collective action that we should have together. And there are at least three, and I'm sure there's more than this, but tonight I just want to talk briefly about three different illustrations that emphasize this togetherness that we have. We have a togetherness, we might say. We have a collective group together. Now, there's many, many ways we could go about talking about that, and clearly, as we'll talk in a minute, there's many different illustrations that we see local churches addressed by their name, by the Apostle Paul, talking about the Church of God at Corinth or the Church of the Thessalonians. And there are others. And we see churches functioning and working together. That's the New Testament pattern that we have. But a number of illustrations that we see in Scripture point to that. One of them is this word fellowship. We talk about our fellowship together, and there is a number of times in which that word is used. In the English, when we put a ship on the end of a word, it's a suffix which denotes, we're told by the dictionary, condition or character or office or skill. And so in the English, we have words like judgeship or courtship or leadership or relationship. The word fellowship in the Greek language is the word koinonia. And the word koinonia comes from koinos. The root word of that is koinos in the Greek, which just means common, having something in common. And so Vine says in his Dictionary of New Testament Words that koinonia means communion or fellowship, sharing in common. And so if we take that idea of the ship from the English, a condition or character, the idea of condition, it's the condition of having something in common. We have a fellowship. We share together. We have something that we have in common together. Now, if you look in the dictionary for the word fellowship in English, you see several different flavors of definitions. One of them is community of interest. I pulled this one out because it seemed to fit. Community of interest, activity, feeling, or experience. Their fellowship in crime. I hope none of you have fellowship in crime, but that was the illustration that was used in the dictionary. Partners in crime. We've heard that word, partners. That's the word fellow, a fellowship, a partner in something, a partner in crime. They have a fellowship in robbing banks or embezzlement or whatever. A community of interest. Oftentimes at a university will offer a fellowship. What is a fellowship at a university? Well, it is a sharing relationship. That's what it is. And they offer a fellowship, and different fellowships work different ways, I am told. But very commonly in a fellowship, a student that's going to be a graduate student is offered a small stipend to come and to work for the university. They may be doing research, but the university's part in this is they pay for their education. They pay for their master's degree, or they pay for their taking the courses for their doctorate degree. And so they get free tuition, and they may get a small stipend on top of that. But in addition to going to class, they also work in the labs in some way. And so they're performing a service for the university. It is a mutual agreement together. It is a fellowship. That's why they call it that. The university is getting some free work out of them doing research. And the student is getting free tuition. And it works for both of them. It is a fellowship. It is something they hold in common together. And so in Christ, we have a fellowship. When we talk about fellowship, we're talking about something we hold in common together. Fellowship is just not talking to each other before or after services or having each other over for cake and ice cream. The word fellowship is not used that way in the Scriptures. It is something, now that's true, we have something in common when we do those things. We're enjoying cake and ice cream together. In that sense, that is a fellowship. Or we're visiting together. In that sense, that is a fellowship. But that's not the way the word is used in the New Testament. It's not used of those things. It's used of what we share in Christ. What we share in Christ is not cake and ice cream. What we share in Christ is not food and drink. What we share in Christ is not just pleasant conversation about the weather. What we share in Christ is, well, what do we share in Christ? What is our fellowship? What do we share together? Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, here the Apostle Paul says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been called into a sharing relationship. We've been called into a fellowship. We share with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we share together with him. Turn over to the book of 1 John. And here in 1 John chapter 1, verses, really the whole context of verses 1 through 10, but I'm not going to take the time to read all of it. But verse 3 of that, after introducing in the first couple of verses, in verse 3 he says, that which we have seen and heard we declare unto you. What the apostles had seen and what they had witnessed with their eyes and with their hands and what they had touched and what they had witnessed in their life was the Lord Jesus Christ. They had witnessed Jesus before his resurrection and more importantly after his resurrection. They could witness the resurrection. They had witnessed the word of life, verse 1. And what we have seen and heard, we declare unto you that ye may have fellowship with us. That you may have fellowship with us and with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write that our joy may be made full. And so we have fellowship together based upon what? Based on the fact that on the teaching of the apostles. On the witness of the apostles. And of us accepting that, implied in that statement. They witnessed these things, and now we have come to believe these things. He says, that which we have seen and heard do we declare unto you, that ye may have fellowship. You've heard the message of the gospel. You've obeyed the message of the gospel. You've come to be children of God. And on the basis of that knowledge, on that truth, and in your obedience to Christ, we can have fellowship together in Jesus Christ.
Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from all sin. And so as we continue to walk in the light, if you walk in the light and if I walk in the light, we share in this relationship together. You can be friends with a lot of people in this world. It may be a friend. It may be a neighbor. It may be a family member. And you may have lots of things in common with them. You both enjoy baseball, or you both enjoy fishing, or you both enjoy golfing. You both enjoy playing cards. You both enjoy gardening. Whatever it is that you enjoy together, and you have a friendship and you talk about those things, but that's not the fellowship we're talking about. That is a kind of fellowship and sharing. That is not the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ? The fact that we are Christians and we have been forgiven. We walk in the light as he is in the light. What do we share? Well, this is just a partial list, and I didn't put passages with all of it. I kind of threw this in at the last minute this afternoon, this slide. But here are some things we share. We share the same spiritual Father. If you're a child of God and I'm a child of God, what makes me a brother to my sister who is living in New Orleans? We share the same parents. We share the same parents. What makes us brothers and sisters in Christ? We share the same Father. We have a relationship with each other because, first of all, we have a relationship with the Father. We share in a Savior, Jesus Christ. He called his name Jesus because he came to save people from their sins. And when you take advantage of that, and I take advantage of that, and we are both forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, we share in the forgiveness of sins, and we share in the hope of eternal life and the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. We share together in faith. We have a shared faith, a common salvation, and a common faith. We have common promises. We share in promises. We have the hope of eternal life. You live with hope, and I live with hope. You live with hope knowing that if you pillow your head tonight, and that's the last night that you sleep. And as we said recently, we wake up dead in the morning. We have hope. We have hope. And we share that hope because of the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, because of our spiritual Father. All these things, of course, tie together. We have blessings in Christ. We share blessings. We have a fellowship in that we share these things in common. We have the privilege of prayer. That's one of the blessings that we have, among other blessings, in Christ Jesus. And the blessing of our fellowship together and the encouragement one with another. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another. We have the blessing of exhorting one another. Like the old commercial where the guy gets slapped in the face and says, "Thanks, I needed that." Remember that? With the aftershave or whatever in the morning, "Thanks, I needed that." Sometimes the slap may sting a little bit, but when we get done with it, we say, "Thank you, I needed that." Sometimes I needed that. Seek fellowship together. I really needed that, as you can tell from my throat. But we have these blessings in Christ, and we need each other, and we share together, and we encourage each other, and we admonish each other, and we share ideas in Bible class together, and we help each other in the work. This is a together relationship. We're not in it by ourselves. We're not ships out there on the sea by ourselves. We're not walking out there in the world by ourselves. Those fellows that were floating from congregation to congregation had no idea about the true understanding of what fellowship is with one another. Yes, there's a sense. I understand there's a sense that we share with that with every Christian. We have some of the same sharing relationship and a fellowship with every Christian upon earth. Your brothers and sisters in China that I know that you have not met. We share these blessings together, the hope of eternal life, the blessings in Christ, the faith of our Lord Jesus. Yes, we are all under that fellowship that we have in Christ. That's true. But in the New Testament, we also see this idea of a local fellowship and a local sharing of worshiping. And we'll talk more about that, worship and prayer and praise, as we study together. And so we have that we share together, the mutual work. Paul talks in Philippians chapter 4 about the fact that the church at Philippi had sit once and again under his knee, the physical contribution to his work that he was doing, and how they shared with him. That is a fellowship. And he uses that term. They had fellowship together in that work. And so they shared that. In that case, it was the church at Philippi, and it was the Apostle Paul. In our case, we have fellowship with two men locally and two men not locally. We have two men in South Africa that we send checks to do the work of the Lord. We have fellowship with them. Just like the church at Philippi was sharing with Paul, we are sharing with Brother Simon and Brother
Maydell.
Thank you. My mind went blank. And I've known Brother Maydell since we were in college. And so we share with them. We share with them in that work. Locally, you support two men locally to do the work of the Lord and to help to build up and to encourage the church in this place with teaching and preaching and work. And so that sharing relationship that we have together. The family, the second word, and we won't spend as long on this one, but the second word is family. That also tells about our togetherness, doesn't it? We understand family. If there's anything we understand, we may not understand fellowship. We throw that round word around sometimes and don't really understand it, I'm afraid. But we are a family. And we understand that because we live in a family. We understand what families are. We are in a family. We are a brotherhood. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, Peter says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." It is a household. It's referred to as a household. This word, I'm not sure of the pronunciation, just means a household. The root of that word, let's see if I can get this. There's the bigger word, but here is the root word, and you see the similarity between the first part of this and this word right there. Oikos. This one's oikos. Household. It comes from the root house. A dwelling, by metonymy, of the members of a household or a family. The Greek word is found several times, three or four, this exact same word. The word house is, of course, many more times than that. But this particular word is found in three or four places, as in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, where Paul there wrote and says, "If any provide not for his own, especially his own household, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an infidel." And so if you don't provide for your own household, you're worse than an infidel. Who is the household there? Their own family members. A family. So this idea of house or household had to do with the members. Galatians 6 and verse 10, that we are to be good to all men, but especially who? The household of faith. And so used there in the context of the household of faith. And so, the house of God, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so those passages all point out to us that the word is being used in this sense of a spiritual family, a spiritual household. But that, once again, as we understand that term, we understand brothers and sisters, we understand mothers and fathers, we understand the family relationship, and how that provides to us a picture of togetherness. You don't live isolated in your family. You just don't go off to your room and not associate with others than your family. If you do that, that's not being a good family member. We're together as a family. We work as a family. We talk as a family. That's the way we should be. And we understand that as we deal with our families. The third word is the word members. And this one we understand pretty well, too. We talk about it a lot. Again, we'll touch it fairly quickly. We are members of the same body. The church is the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23. He put all things in subjection under his feet. He gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so the church is the body of Christ. As the body of Christ, we are members. Christians are members one of another. Paul says that in Romans 12 and verse 5. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another. And these members are interdependent. You're well familiar with the passage in Romans chapter 12. We won't take the time to turn and read it. But Paul there talks about that we are many members but one body. And that one is the hand and one is the foot and one is the ear and one is the eye. And one cannot say, I have no need of thee, because we have need, each one of the other. We're interdependent. We need the hearing, but we also need the eyes. We need the foot, but we also need the hand. And they all work together. And when one is hurting, they're all hurting. And the others come to the rescue of the one that is hurting. And so we are interdependent. Each has a part to play. Each is dependent upon the other. And so it's important for us to find our part and to do our part. But once again, this figure, just like with fellowship, just like with family, as we think about members of the body, the different parts of the body, working together and functioning together and helping together and supporting together. But it's a picture of togetherness. It's a picture of togetherness. And so God's people need to understand this together concept. Passages which show the local church membership. Local churches existed. We've already mentioned these two passages and many other examples, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, written to the church of God at Corinth and to the church of the Thessalonians, the church that is among the Thessalonians. In Acts, we see an interesting thing, of course. Saul of Tarsus, Saul who had just been converted, Saul, who had been on his way to Damascus and, of course, saw the Lord and went on into Damascus and was baptized. And later, after coming back from Damascus, he went down to Jerusalem. And he sought to join himself. In Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 28, there we see the context. It said he tried to join himself. The New King James and the NIV says he tried to join the disciples. The American Standard uses the older term of essayed. The word essayed just means tried or attempted. He essayed to join himself to the disciples. Holman says tried to associate with the disciples. The ESV says attempted to join the disciples. And so, you know, there's slight differences in the wording there, but it gives us that flavor, that idea. He was wanting to be a part of them. He was wanting to join himself with them. He was wanting to worship with them. And, of course, they were a little leery about it because of what they had heard. And so Barnabas finally came, and Barnabas vouched for him, and then they accepted him. But it teaches us a couple things. It teaches us, first of all, that Paul was desirous of joining himself with disciples. Paul didn't see the part of a Christian as just one floating around from place to place. He wanted to join himself and connect himself and to be together with the disciples there that were at Jerusalem. And secondly, we see that acceptance or rejection was in the lap of the disciples. They could either accept him or they could reject him, or it didn't make any difference to, I mean, it made difference, but that was under their control. And so the local fellowship is under the control of the local congregation. But he essayed to join himself. And so we see the local fellowship there. Well, what did early Christians do together? Well, this list that I'm going to show you is nothing new to you, but just to illustrate. What did early Christians do? Well, they worshiped God. And you know the things Hebrews 10:25 tells us, not forsaking our assembling together. Acts 2 talks about teaching and prayer and the Lord's Supper, the fellowship that the early church had together. Acts 20:7, we see that they met on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, to break bread, and Paul also taught with them on that occasion. 1 Corinthians 11, we see Paul teaching about the time that they come together and their association together and their worship together, and there were some problems in their togetherness there. There were some problems with the Lord's Supper in that occasion. And so he's trying to correct what was going wrong there and teaching them properly about the partaking of that together. But 1 Corinthians 11, they're teaching about the Lord's Supper. Passages talk about singing, both individually and in the assembly, giving on the first day of the week as we give together. And so these are some of the activities that Christians did together. But the point is, there's worship going on. That early Christians saw the need of gathering together and being a together assembly, and to encourage one another, as we made reference from Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another. The importance of exhorting and encouraging, and even that slap on the face, figuratively, occasionally, where we need to be woke up to some things and reminded about some things and get a swift kick about some things. But the importance of that encouragement together, the teaching and the association and the admonition that we all receive when we spend that time together. Christians prayed together. Many, many passages that talk about the importance of prayer. Acts chapter 12, we see that when Peter was in prison, the disciples were gathered together in the home of a Mary to pray for him. They were praying for him. They submitted to the oversight of elders, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. They participated in the work of the Lord. We see many examples of the early Christians working and functioning together. We see them doing evangelism, whether individually or collectively together. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul is praising the church at Thessalonica because of their taking the gospel to other places round about that area, all that area of Macedonia and Achaia. The gospel went forth because of them. And so we see they participated in that work together. Early Christians participated in the disciplining of local members. We see from, again, a couple of different passages. Extending hospitality, Romans chapter 12. Each one found a role. And this, I guess, is the bottom line for us as we think about these things, is that as we think about the togetherness that we have, we think about the association that we have, we think about our role in that, we need to be reminded that I need to see whatever part I can play and be looking for that. What part can I play? What can I do? What can I do to encourage my brothers and sisters? What can I do to encourage this local group? I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because all of you are here on a Sunday night. But one time people don't think about is how encouraging it is just to, if you can do nothing else. In the first place, we need to be with one another to receive the encouragement and the edification that we each individually get from being in an assembly and singing together and praying together and hearing God's word taught. But also we think of what I can do for others. What can I do for others? I can be there to support others. I can be there to encourage others. I can be there to lift my support to this work that we're doing together. And so each looking for what I can do and then doing what I can to fulfill it the very best that I can. Get your songbooks out. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Being a Christian is a significant thing. I think that's obvious to all of us. It's a significant thing for a number of reasons. It's significant to you individually. Because of where you came from. You came from the world. You came from outside of Christ. You came from not being one of His children to being one of His children. And so being a child of God is significant. It means having the hope of life eternal. It means having God as our Father. It means having brothers and sisters that we can lean on and we can encourage. What peace and what joy we can have from knowing that we are children of God. What peace and joy we can have from knowing that we have God as our Father. And that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what ups and downs we might have in this life, no matter what ailments or hurts or heartaches from family or friends, whatever we have in this life, we can know that we are God's children. And someday we're going home. We're one of His children. We're a member of His family. And so let us rejoice in that. What great joy we should have in our hearts, just knowing, every day waking up knowing, I'm a child of God. Oh, I've got my warts, and I've got my problems, and I've got my challenges. But I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. And my Father loves me. And my Father has a home waiting for me. And if I will just be faithful and live for Him and seek Him. The significance of being a child of God. If you're not a Christian tonight, we want you to be, because it is a significant relationship. It's the most important relationship you can have. Obey the Lord Jesus if you have not. Come believing in Him and repenting of your sins. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And obey Him. And join with us. It's a together relationship. It's an important together relationship. Join with us as we seek to serve Him and live for Him and obey Him. While together we stand and while we sing this song.